everybody. Welcome back to the House of Cards show. Roberto's on assignment. I don't know where Roberto is, but Roberto is not with us today. But that's okay, because you know what? We have two excellent guests. We have Kelly and we have Jaime. Kelly, you were here in September. Jaime, we had you here a few weeks ago. So, Kelly, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone, although they already know you.
Sure. My name is Kelly Gaumont, and it's British Tech Network, so I was going to just go into the end. Like, you can find me on Twitter as Verso. So, spoilers, that's where you can find me on Twitter. Currently, I'm the social director at Smile Software. I'm a House of Cards fan, and somehow got mixed up with all these British Tech Network people. I still don't know how that happened. I'm volunteering for an organization called App Camp for Girls, which is super awesome. And you can find out more about them at appcampforgirls.org.
Excellent. I'm really excited to talk about that. And so, and I think we've lost Jaime's video, but that's okay.
Can we hear him?
We will work that out.
That happened.
And Mr. Jaime,
right here.
Don
Jaime,
if you will.
Yes, hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Before we get started.
I'm Jaime Ruiz Avila. I'm at Cancer Guy on the internet, and I am...
The maker of unicorns?
I am the maker of unicorns and things, and let's see if I can...
One in particular.
Do this. There's one particular unicorn, which
we're going to get all the spoilers out of the way right now.
It's going to say hi. Hello.
Which we're all partial. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Check that out.
Excellent.
You know, I'm managing director of Unlimited Enterprises Limited, which we make things. That's my story. I'm sticking by it.
You make some pretty crazy, amazing things. But we'll go into all that wrap up at the end. So basically for this show, just a spoiler alert to everyone, because we don't have Roberto who goes episode by episode, we can talk anything related to the British House of Cards or the U.S. show. So we will talk all the way through the end, but specifically we're going to dedicate a little bit of time talking about season 4, episode 11, chapter 50 of the Netflix House of Cards. So, I'm just going to throw it out. Who wants to go first? Let's let Kelly go first. Kelly, is there what stands out to you the most of this show in general? What are your overall thoughts about? Yeah, just go.
I'm a little afraid of the people who are behind the show who do the story breaking and all of that. And the primary reason for that is because they do all of this like a year or more ahead of time. And then it ends up basically following along with all the headlines that are happening as we watch the show. And so to me, it was really, really weird that as soon as we had a Supreme Court justice position happening, we were talking about it on House of Cards and on and on. Like, there are so many of these things that I could just go on about. And the more you think about them, the weirder it gets. And so I remember at my house, we watched it over a few days, my husband and I, you know, a couple episodes at a time in the evening. And so I remember him saying something about a current 2016 election headline, and I don't remember what it was. And I said, well, the only reason that concerns you is because we haven't watched all of House of Cards yet to see how it turns out. And that was basically the whole thing. So to me, it's the really interesting thing is hearing what other people say, like to actors on the show, about like the only thing that people really had a problem with, like actual politicians had a problem with. I remember with the first season seeing Kevin Spacey say this a lot, was the thing they all said was nobody could get an education bill passed that quickly. And that was the only thing they really had a problem with. And so to me, that was really sort of funny. I think the fact that it seems not entirely outside the realm of possibility is mildly alarming, or at least should be mildly alarming. But aside from that, like, as storytelling, as sort of junk food to kind of show what the political system looks like more, probably a lot more realistically than most of us have seen in the past, like with other political politically themed shows. I think overall it's super fun. I really enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun to watch, and particularly with the casting that they've done and with the characters, the arcs that specific characters have taken, it's been really interesting to me, and consistent, which is a thing that drives me up the wall about shows as they start to build their own history through previous seasons, is all of a sudden, in because there's some pivotal moment and something interesting needs to happen, they take a character that you've watched the entire time act this one particular way, and now all of a sudden they're acting completely differently. Mm-hmm. And for no reason. Like, just, this is the thing that needs to happen. And so somebody who never even carries a gun suddenly shoots a person. Like, that's not how that person would normally act. And I find that really frustrating in a lot of shows. And so this has been really super consistent all the way through with sort of how people behave, or you get a very clear idea of what it is that put them in the position they're in to make this uncharacteristic decision. So overall, for me, that's what's really fun about the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've done it. This is why I love this show, is the character development across the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, Kelly, you and I were talking a little bit. Sorry, I hit my mic there. We were talking a little bit pre-show, and I was saying I was so surprised. I'm always surprised when they bring back some characters mm-hmm. that, you know, you think are long gone, and then here they are again. Hi, May. What are your thoughts on anything overall? You know, like, do you, you know, just... if you want to compare the two, wherever you want to start off with.
I think that this particular show is amazing because it's as Kelly said, it has a very strong connection to reality. There's a conversation happening with the news, and they're trying to look forward. I think the British show was a little bit of a kind of like an analysis of what a post Thatcher British landscape was going to be, and I think that show kind of looked back a little bit. It kind of reflected a little bit on the past. I think mm-hmm. this show is all about the future, and thankfully, it seems like the news and current politics is kind of keeping up with the crazy, I don't know. There's some sort of feedback loop, and I don't know which feeds what. But it is fantastic to watch.
Absolutely, and actually, I had that kind of in my comments. And we'll just jump right in, you know, comparing the two, and throw in any kind of comments. You guys just jump in at any time. But you know, I thought it was kind of funny that Frank Urquhart, Francis Urquhart, not Frank,
right.
of the British episode, he's a Conservative Party member, and mm-hmm. he's saying things such as, let's get these young people, you know, off their butts or their backside and get them to work,
right.
And then you got Frank, who has done one of the, you know, I don't, you know, when I think about what Frank Underwood has proposed as a president, I would vote for him because he has this universal work project, America Works, where everybody has a job no matter what. I'd mm-hmm. vote for that. Yeah, he's a monster, you know, and they're both monsters. So, like, you know, how conservative is Francis and how liberal is Frank really, you know?
I think they're both exactly what they need to be, in that they are part of the establishment at the time. At the time of the British show, it was a very conservative government, and it was the environment. So it's here. These are your leaders, and your leaders are your monsters. And I think in the case of Frank, it's exactly the same. The establishment is democratic, not necessarily liberal. He is part of that establishment. This is why it's scary. This is in Breaking Bad. In Breaking Bad, it was scary when you liked
Walter White.
what Walter was doing. You're like, oh shoot, I like Walter. Why? No, I don't like him.
I had that exact moment of like, oh Frank, why? Yeah, I did the same thing in Breaking Bad. Why am I rooting for the meth cook? What is happening?
Oh, yeah. And it's the same thing here, right? It's like, oh, I would vote for him. Oh shoot, I would vote for him.
Oh my god, I would vote for him. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why it's effective. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I actually had in rewatching, I was saying before the show, I rewatched just this episode to make sure that I was talking about the right stuff. And and I actually had a moment where I kept waiting for, and now I'm totally blanking on his name, but the other the candidate?
Conway.
Conway. Yeah. I kept waiting for Conway to come out with something like, I have the best words. I'm going to be huge. Like, I was totally wait. And if it had happened, like, even just a tiny little phrase, I would have been like, yeah. Okay. Like, I just would have been like, okay, so this is about 95% reality, and now the line has just gotten really blurry. I totally would have.
Right.
I totally would have seen that and been like, yep. Yep. This guy's just know the future.
Conway is a lot more realistic of a candidate.
Oh, certainly.
It's
But the thing that I loved about this particular episode was something that I think a lot of us see in a lot of politicians.
Sorry.
That was something I did kind of want to discuss, which was the part near the end when Frank, near the end of the episode, I think, when Frank is talking to Conway and says, I think you're good at running for president, but I don't think you'd be a good president. You'd be good at being president.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the two, I thought, was a thing that is a distinction a lot of people don't necessarily draw.
Mm-hmm.
So because you see them on TV a whole bunch until they get the job, and then once they get the job, it happens a lot less often. And people talk about them, but they themselves aren't necessarily the person on TV. And so I thought that was a really interesting parallel to draw, to see the distinction between, like, running for president is one thing, being president is a whole other thing. And I thought it was really interesting to sort of watch Frank lay him open like that and just go, yeah, here's the deal. And the little digs that they made at each other were kind of fun to watch too, like as characters.
And I'm kicking myself for not remembering the name of that actor who plays Conway, but I love him. I actually really liked The Killing in a weird way, probably because it was so dark and rainy all the time.
Yeah, and super rainy.
Just so dark and depressed.
Yeah,
but I loved it, and I loved him on The Killing. And so I was so happy to see him on this show. I think he's doing a great job as Conway. And yeah. I asked Tom Merritt when he was on, and I asked Roberto as well. You know, at some point, okay, I know we're getting a new showrunner. Bo Williams, basically the guy who put all this together for Netflix, is out. So we're going to have somebody new for the next season. And my thoughts were, how far could this go? And I wanted to ask you guys what you thought compared to the UK show. But I asked them, what do you think? Do you think that maybe Conway? I mean, how? Like I have in our show notes, I don't want this to become like a 10-season episode or show.
No.
Right.
This has end.
No. And I think Kevin Spacey has enough pull that he would go, I've told all the story there is to tell. We're done here.
Yeah.
And draw a line when he finds the right spot to draw it.
I think so, too. I totally have a whole lot of respect for Trigger Street Productions definitely. I think that as well. But so that goes to my question based off the UK show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot shorter. But it ends with Elizabeth, I believe is her name, she's the wife of
Mrs. Urquhart.
Yeah,
yeah. Elizabeth.
She ends up having spoiler alert. Stop right here if you haven't watched.
Stop.
Blink.
But do you think that Claire is going to overtake Frank in some way? Do you think that that's going to happen? Okay, you've got your hand up. Or you both have your hands up.
Okay.
Boom. Either one of you. I'm going to shut up here.
So here's what... When I was watching the episode again, I watched it again last night. And while I was watching, I had this moment of, oh, oh my God, I totally know what's going to happen. And then when I was done reading that, when I was done watching the episode, I went and read the outline, Jackie, that you had. And then I realized that there was actually a whole nother UK series that I hadn't seen, the last one. So I didn't know that that's what happened, because I thought, oh, I totally know what's going to happen right here. I totally have it pegged. Listen to Claire say all the things that she's been saying about what if there's no Frank on the scene. And then I went and read the plot outline, the plot stuff, the recaps for the final UK series. And I went, that's what we're doing. I had this giant hand waving moment. My husband was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I think I know what's going to happen. And we're only going to get one more season, and here's why. And I told him, like, this is what's going to happen. And, like, you think Frank's playing the long game? Uh-uh. Because he's playing a long game, but Claire's playing the long game to his long game. And so, yes, we're going to have a President Underwood going forward, but President Underwood will not be Frank.
Ooh. That's okay. Jaime, your video popped out. But, yeah,
that blew my mind was watching, like, in my mind, everything just totally 100% lined up.
I had a different, and maybe we can come back again and revisit this for my thoughts.
I think the British show is also a little bit of a show of, there is a morality to the whole thing. There is a karma that comes around, right? It's, you know, FU has messed with too many things, and, you know, the thing that is the least important is it in his mind, which is this reporter is the one that, you know, eventually comes back, and it all comes back to haunt him and so forth. I don't know if the American show believes in karma. If this particular one thinks that in the end Frank will have his comeuppance.
I was going to say, it's come around on everyone else on the show. Just a question.
It's a matter of, everybody eventually gets it. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it to Frank. Who knows? However, they are set up for it. They're perfectly ready to, you know, get the hammer and I can definitely see this, you know, kind of like a JFK moment, you know, and the whole, and again, the irony would be so thick of all the world mourning for the great leader that has passed, and you know, but, you know, he will be survived by this, you know, stalwart of virtue.
Well, I think one of the underpinnings of that, actually, go ahead, and Jackie, I want to.
No, you go.
Well, to me, one of the underpinnings of that was we've laid the foundation of Frank through all these seasons of interaction with people and who he talks to and, like, who's kind of on his side and who's kind of not, and, like, what he has to do to them or for them in order for him to get his way. Mm-hmm. And one of those people was Freddy, speaking of those who suddenly pop up again and we see. And he and Freddy go toe-to-toe in one of my favorite moments in this episode, mostly because not a lot of people are willing to go toe-to-toe with Frank Underwood. And so to me, that was a thing that was sort of notable. And then for it to be Freddy, who has been the recipient of Frank's kindness, and who never, but Freddy never wanted anything in return. Like, make sure the check doesn't bounce. Like, that was really all their relationship mostly was to him. And then somehow Frank had developed this soft spot for him, and he gets this opportunity. And now, when it comes down to it, I don't think either of them is 100% in the right on how this happened. Like, I think Frank may have come off not necessarily how he wanted to come off. And I think that Freddie, And Frank was justified in being upset, but Frank didn't phrase it as well as he could have. And I feel like Freddie kind of didn't take it well, and then was sort of, I think almost Freddie anticipated that this might be how this interaction would go. When he had to go to Frank and look him in the eye and say, I don't think I'm going to be here anymore. I'm going to move on to this other opportunity that's a great opportunity for me. And then to get Frank going, after everything I've done for you, and then it was on, and my favorite moment, of course, was the my bad at the very, very end, which we can't talk about because the show is family friendly, even though the House of Cards show sometimes is not.
We talk around it. We find ways.
So he calls him a name and drops the apron, and I'm like, yeah, that's a microphone. He basically just dropped the mic right there in the lobby at the residence and then walked out, and it was beautiful.
That was excellent. I actually have a follow-up question for you guys about that, but first, we should just very quickly take a moment to thank our wonderful sponsors of the British Tech Network. If you are in the UK and you need any kind of web hosting, check out UK.net. Right now, they're offering 50% off of web hosting packages and 95% off of site domains. They also have a very easy-to-use website builder. And from what I hear, some of our previous co-hosts, they have excellent 24-hour customer service support. You can call them, you can pick up the phone, and you can talk to someone any time of the day, and they will walk you through it. Gosh, I know I've been with other hosting services, and you know, I got to leave them a little text message and wait for them to respond. But that's not the case with UK.net. Viewers of the British Tech Network, you're going to get a great discount, too. Just make sure you go over to the BTN website, and I'm going to put that up there for you, and scroll down all the way to the bottom, and you'll see the sponsor link. And when you get to that, there's multiple discounts that you can get through UK2.net. Check them out. Viewers of the British Tech Network, if you like this show, if you like all of the multiple shows on this network, please check out their Patreon. I know that most people, you can't do it every month. You can only throw in a nickel or a dime or a pound, a pence. I don't know the British terms. But whatever you can do, throw a few pounds. I'll go with pounds because I know pounds. Throw a few things their way while you can, when you can. And if you can't do that, I certainly understand that. Times get rough. Just mention the British Tech Network to your friends, your family, your coworkers, all your great tech friends that we're all friends with. Have them check out some of the shows. So, all right. Let's get back to the show. I had a question about Freddy. Okay, because that's where we stopped. And I'm going to throw this first to Jaime, and then we'll go back.
Sure.
When Freddy beat the crap out of, as we would say, of Hammerschmidt when they were meeting in the alleyway.
Yep.
The recording that he started to leave on that device that he crushed, the words that came out of his mouth were, here's the truth. I don't serve him no more. I don't make ribs no more. I don't even hate. I even if I do hate him, which I do, I'm no snitch.
Right.
Do you think that that's real? Freddie's real thoughts, or do you think that Freddie just knows better to just leave that as a record and back away? Because the very last scene we have with Freddie is that he blew it. He blew his lid, as Kelly said. He reacted in a way he shouldn't have, and then all of a sudden, now a reporter comes to him. You would think that maybe down the line we see Freddy a little more receptive to answering questions. And Jaime, you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the biggest thing that Frank has always done to Freddy is disrespect him. Is not he's just a cook. He is just this. He's just a person that he's helping. And I think that that's the thing that Freddy resents the most. However, from that to Freddy being disloyal is a very big leap. And I think that it's in his character to be exactly that. It's almost like the only real friend that Frank has, where he will definitely tell him, you're full of stuff.
nice.
you know, stuff happens. But you know, he will not betray him. However, it does establish that he could. It does establish that he is a person that you know, under the right circumstances, if Frank pushes him enough, if Frank you know messes up enough, you know, Freddy could be the person that you know that precipitates all kinds of trouble for Frank.
A lot of those conversations took place at Freddy's barbecue. Sure. Kelly,
I think I agree 100% with Jaime on this. Mostly because I feel like if there were ever a moment when Freddy would confess, it would be what seems to be the day after him and Frank throw down.
Mm.
And it seems like in the moment when Freddy hates him the most and owes him the least, because he's got another opportunity coming, he knows that he doesn't really have to be beholden to Frank anymore. He knows that there's no relationship between them anymore. He doesn't run the rib joint now, so it's not like Frank's going to come by. I really think that was the moment, if Freddy was ever going to do anything, that would be when it would be. And I think that Freddy did for him. And I think there may be a little bit of him convincing himself when he's saying it into the recorder that this is really what he believes. I think he's sort of cementing that in his own mind. Mm-hmm. But I do think to him, it would be way worse to be a snitch, which is how it seems. Now, does that mean that Freddy's not going to swoop in later and be like, look at all the security camera footage of all the people that showed up at the rib joint and had meetings with Frank on very interesting days of Frank's calendar? I don't know. But the thing to me that was interesting in hearing that was, like, if ever there was a moment to go find Freddy, that was the moment, because if ever he was going to crack, it was going to be then. And I think he was telling himself a little bit, I ain't no snitch. But yeah. I think that I don't think he needed very much convincing that he was doing the right thing. Now, beating the tar out of him is another story, but definitely the message that he left in the recorder. And I also thought that the recorder in that particular case was a nice throwback to the UK series, because we do have a recorder that has some very interesting repercussions in the British show.
Right. It's all about that cassette.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think another possibility, and this is just me, you know, speculating, is that, you know, Freddy knows he has this power, and he's saving it for the moment where, you know, it will hurt the most, or whatever, or, you know, but so he's not going to give anything away. I think Freddy's all about respect, and this guy, you know, even though he got to him at the right moment, if Skype cooperates. even though he got to him at the right moment, I think that you know, it's no. This is not the right moment for Freddy. So. Mm. But yeah, no, that was powerful stuff.
Okay, so there are two other main topics. I know we're kind of running late on time here, but what about Cray Cray Stamper? He invites
Stamper.
The woman who's married to the dude who died because
who missed out on a liver. Yep.
He invites her over, and then he invites her to that secret obscure diner that he meets with Gavin.
Yeah.
And then he gives her flowers. What? Mm-hmm. Okay, who wants to go first on how Cray Cray and where Stamper is going to go?
Go ahead.
I can go, because I think Kelly has she's rearing to go. So she can close it. Stamper is basically, you know, he is crazy. He is nuts. He is outside of morality and obsessive. But also, I think that, you know, we noticed how much he needs, because he has a lack of inner direction. how much he needs Frank, and you know, that whole thing with Frank, you know, almost dying, and him, you know, like falling adrift into space, affected him a lot. I also think he you know, he kind of likes to play with his food kind of thing, where he, you know, it's I can destroy this, but I'm not, you know, I'm messing with the situation, because it's the little bit of control that he has. You know, he kind of set up this life of hers now, so he kind of breaks it, and now he's playing with it. But yeah, dude, that's creepy as heck. And you know, yet another reason why to love slash hate slash, you know, be horrified by Stamper.
I'm really scared for Stamper. I mean, you guys watched the season all the way to the end, correct?
Yes.
Okay, both of you. Okay, so we know that nothing really gets resolved via Stamper here.
Right.
But don't you see him as a major, like, I mean, there's also Seth. And Seth is kind of like the more sort of like responsible-minded guy in this group. The fact
that reminds me of young, he to me, he's young Stamper. He's like before everything got warped and twisted.
Interesting.
Seth is what Stamper used to be.
Hmm.
I think that's part of what Stamper doesn't like in him, to be honest.
Well, I didn't mean to stop you, Kelly, on your thoughts on Stamper, if you wanted to throw more.
So, the thing to me that was funny about this is that, yeah, cray to the cray. Make no joke. There is something fundamentally damaged in Stamper, I think. Yeah. And I don't know what it is that's broken, but he's broken.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how, I just know that that's not people. That's not, like, how it's supposed to go. And to me, the thing about the new lady is that she's still fulfilling the little pleasure center in his brain that is flogging himself. I keep thinking of the guy in the Da Vinci Code that had the whip and kept beating himself on the back. He's that guy, because like he did the same thing to Rachel and then like had to save her.
Yes.
Like he screwed up her life and then he had to go fix it. Because now he can charge in and save the day, and somehow that's a thing that he thinks is good for people, specifically women. And, like, the thing that was sort of impressive about him very early on was how he was ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Whoever it was, whatever they were up to, you know, and we saw a little bit of that in this episode where he was talking to the senator about which lie do you want to expose?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, of course, you know, it's funny to think of Frank Underwood having a bad cop, but it's totally Stamper. And he goes in and he's like, you know, we're going to pull down a career. Do you want it to be yours? Because I can make that happen. And if you don't want it to be yours, that's kind of on you. And it was really interesting to watch him go like full Stamper and just channel that like ice in his veins sort of persona. And then to watch him go meet with her and go, I bought you flowers. I don't know why, but here I have flowers for you. And I feel like I owe you them, you know, because, and so what's going to happen when he finally gets to the point in his life where somehow, whether he inadvertently or advertently tells her, I'm the reason your husband is dead.
You know, it's coming,
you know, yeah. Let's go to bed now. Like, I don't know how that's going to go.
Uh-huh.
And, but we know it's coming. And what, and to wildly speculate, even though it's never going to be as wild as what actually happens on the show next season, I guarantee it. She's going to find out and it's going to send him off the rails in some way. And now that I'm saying this out loud, I think what's going to happen is that he is going to team up with Claire the same way that the guy whose name escapes me now, Converse or something, teamed up with Elizabeth to kill, Francis in the UK version. I think that's the echo. Now that I'm saying it out loud, that's what's coming. No, we talked about it earlier.
I should have the name handy, and I don't, because I say
the bodyguard, and it starts with a C.
Well, I mean, there's a Stamper. There's a Stamper in the Stamper. Well, I don't want to spoil this for anybody who doesn't really know, because we barely touched on the UK one, but there is an incident with the Stamper. In that episode, his name is Tim Stamper.
Yeah.
Right.
And he meets up with Sarah, who is the appointed lover of Francis. Mm-hmm. For Francis by Elizabeth. Elizabeth, like, kind of handpicks. So Sarah is kind of the the Tom Yates in a way.
Yes.
But there's an incident where Stamper and
the bodyguard.
Yeah, spoiler. So I wonder if that whole scenario is going to happen to this Stamper, that he's going to just know too much or be too far and feel like not respected enough. I can't imagine Stamper not feeling respected enough. I mean,
right. But that's why I think what's going to happen is not the Stamper thing in the UK one. I think it's going to be the bodyguard from the UK one, and that those cahoots are going to be what happens. He's going to go off the rails in some way and somehow get mixed up with Claire, and Claire's going to go, "You know, this is what needs to happen. You know, we need a new President Underwood. You know, this is what needs to happen." And Doug, our little U.S. Stamper, is going to be in a place where in his brain he goes, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a thing. And he's going to convince himself of it the same way he was convincing himself he needed to save Rachel. He needed to save Liver Lady. He needed to do all these things that he did. He needed to go, like, hit someone's head in with a rock, you know, whatever. Like,
right.
He's going to convince himself that this is the right thing to do for America. And then we're going to get a new President Underwood the same way in a similar fashion to how things went down in the UK. So there it is. There's my crazy theory, which,
is
not going to be as crazy as what actually happens.
I like it. And God, we got to get you back on a little bit more. I was about to call you Stamper.
Oh, no.
Hi, May. Do you have anything to follow up on that? Because I also thought that we could talk quickly about the whole Tom Claire thing, but you run with whatever you want to at this point.
Yeah. No, it's tempting to think, because the most formidable yet random is like, is he's chaotic evil, basically.
Yes.
Is a profile there. The most easy go-to henchman or a weapon that Claire could employ in the future is Doug. However, I don't know. I think what we learned when Frank was under is that he cannot function without Frank. So I don't see him. I think in season two, if what you think and it's all psychic now, it's unspoken. If what you think is going to happen happens, I think that we're going to be introduced to some new, I hate to call him villain, because it won't be a villain. It would be some new champion of Claire's that is going to, basically, I think Doug is going to have a showdown at some point with some badder-asser, kind of the mountain that rides kind of thing that will come. I see Doug as the Hound in many ways. I think there's going to be a mountain at some point that he's going to face off. However, definitely all of this, he flirts, just like some chaotic neutral or chaotic good characters flirt with being heroes. With being evil sometimes, they kind of play with, should I do this wrong thing? I think Stamper plays with being good. He plays with the notion, but he fails at it. He wants to save these.
He wants to, yeah.
He wants to, but he fails. And I think that's his lot. I think his lot is I could do the right thing, but I can't. I'm it's in my nature. So, we'll see.
Interesting. Kelly, any kind of final thoughts on any of this before we wrap it all up?
It's going to be really weird. It's going to be weird to see how Tom fits in with Frank and Claire, I think. Uh-huh. And really, my takeaway from the end of the episode was that it takes all three of them to eat an apple. Because it was one apple on that plate. One.
Yeah,
and Frank. And the way,
like, the breakfast of champions
apples.
Is two, like, apple slices. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
I actually found myself cutting an apple that way to think that maybe it would taste better.
There's some.
It always tastes better if someone else slices it for you. Oh, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, put some lemon juice on it. So it's brown. Yeah.
There's definitely some biblical connection to this apple cut three ways there. There's something going on there. There's some snake somewhere. Or maybe perhaps a snake.
Or everywhere. They're all
everywhere.
Snakes.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Excellent. All right, well, I guess we're just going to go ahead and wrap this up. And if either one of you want to come back next week, we need some co-hosts. Because Roberto is on assignment.
You know what time. Okay.
Excellent. All right, and speaking of... Where do we find you? Let's start with you, Kelly. Where can people find you, and what do you have going on these days?
You can find me on Twitter and on app.net as Verso, and you can also find me occasionally over at the Mac Observer. And I have my own show called The After Show with Mike and Kelly. You can find us at aftershowpodcast.com. That's a show I do with Mike Rose. And the rest of the time, I'm working on App Camp for Girls, which I talked about at the beginning of the show. It's a week-long camp where we take girls going into grades 8 and grade 9 and teach them about iOS development and what's possible, what you can do. They build an app in a week, and then at the end of the week, they pitch the app to a panel of investors.
It is so
much fun. It is amazing. We have a number of ways you can donate. We have shirts available for purchase right now through Cotton Bureau that you can check out. Our operations manager recently passed away, and her favorite color was purple. It was a very known fact about her, and so we have purple shirts this year. If you order it right now, like, you have to get in on it today. But if you order them right now, you'll have them in time for WWDC, which is a big deal for a lot of people if you're going to be in San Francisco in June. You can wear these purple shirts. And it's a super great organization. I'm super excited to be part of it. Jean McDonald, who's a huge figure in the Mac development community, is really great. And she founded it. And she came to me one day and said, I have an idea. And I said, that's awesome. How can I help? And she said, I didn't tell you what my idea was. And I said, it doesn't matter. Like, it's yours. I know it's good. I'm totally going to help you out. So anytime I get an opportunity to talk about it, I do. And you can always follow up with me to find out more if you want to know how to bring it to where you live, or if you have any other questions about the program. And we're always looking to expand to new cities. We have yet to take over the world. We are international because we do have a camp in Canada. But I would really like to have lots more camps all over the country and all over the world. So chat me up and let's see if we can make something awesome happen.
Excellent. I remember, like, Obama had a sort of get girls to learn code program. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was something about Christmas trees. And I thought that was excellent.
Oh, yeah. It was cool.
You could bust a Christmas tree
in front of the White House. The lights.
Yeah,
on the
right. Yeah. And honestly, if I had a child today and they were like, I don't know, should I study history? By the way, I got a master's in history. And I will be paying student loan debts for the rest of my life.
Yes, you will.
And if I had a child today, I would say, you are not doing humanities. You're not doing anything other than computer science.
Well, and the best thing about it is all of the facets that it takes to be in software. Like, I've been in the software industry for a really long time, even though I don't write code. Like, there's doing software support, there's documentation, there's somebody to do artwork, there's user interface, there's so many different things that go into building even the most basic of computer programs. And so getting the opportunity to expose everybody to all of that is really exciting to me. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about getting to work with the program, is that moment when somebody goes, breaking stuff is awesome. And that moment when somebody goes, it's a whole job just drawing all the stuff that goes into this app. It's
so
amazing.
True.
And we do, the girls build quizzes, and all of the quizzes are rolled up together, and you can buy them for 99 cents on the App Store and see all of the quizzes that we did last year. We'll have another one for later this year. Once all the camps are over, we compile all the quizzes into their own app. And then we release
the
app. So you can go buy that today and go see what it is the kids are up to. And it's really amazing to see what happens when you go from zero to development. It's super awesome.
This is fantastic.
Speaking of, you need a community to build things. Mr. John
yes,
Jaime.
You do.
Yes.
you have a great project that you have built, and I know you've involved a lot of great people that have done different coding and design. Why don't you explain that very quickly?
First of all, Kelly, I love that. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and I'm all over that stuff. It's
that's awesome.
Super cool. Yes. Yeah. No. The last few years I've decided to pursue, you know, my love of tech a little bit more directly. I've been involved in other things. But now we're putting together a tech design studios to put together products and make things and make it as a full time thing. And we have a relatively large pool of people that we build things with. And amongst these is a project that was inspired by a at the time 7-year-old girl who knew I was a maker and really wanted me to make her something. And what it is basically a unicorn that it's a unicorn that toots rainbows,
which is amazing.
That's what it is.
Behold,
toots.
A tooted rainbow.
The toots with a Z, the magnificent. But the interesting thing is that it is an IoT device, and it's actually it has its own web host. It's hosting its own web page, and it's connected to almost all your services. And the idea is that you have a notification device that can discriminate from bad news and good news. And at the beginning, it's through basically a questionnaire that is in an app. And you select what you want and where you want it from. But the ongoing project is to actually create an engine that can discriminate your notifications so that you get all your happy notifications, all at once and as soon as possible in the most flamboyant way possible. And the more difficult stuff you can read later, you can read on your phone or whatever, but we are having a blast with it, and everybody who's played with it really likes it. We have Twitchers that like OMG Chad and Healthy Addict have connected them to their Twitch notification system. So when people subscribe, it toots. When people donate or follow, it does different things, and so we're very happy, and we really think the interaction with the internet requires an avatar of sorts, and that's what we're doing. And this is again the very first trial of this, but the success is leading us to do other things that basically manifest the internet for you in a fun way.
And I went ahead and brought up the website for the Indiegogo. By the way, people have only 13 hours left. If you want a unicorn to toot the toots for you, go to the Indiegogo. It's Indiegogo project/toots.
Just go to toots with a Z, tootstheunicorn.com. It will direct
you. Tootstheunicorn.com.
Yes.
Excellent. And I am Jackie Hearn. You can reach me at jackiehearn.com. I'm going to be doing some puppet stuff. So if you like sock puppets and crazy
puppet stuff,
you might be able to catch some of those coming up pretty soon. But Kelly, thank you so much. Jaime, thank you so much. I got to get you back on. You guys have been so nice. It's been so great having you on. Until next week. Next week, I guess we will. I don't know who will be here. I hope one of you do, if you're interested.
Sure.
We'll be here for season 4, episode 12. Then we've got one more, and then we wrap it up until the end of February when it starts again. And so, thank you guys so much. Make sure to go check us out on iTunes. Give us a review. Go throw some pennies and nickels and dimes and pences and pounds towards the Bridgeton Network Patreon. All right, guys, thank you so much.